Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Congregational Church. Whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, whether you root for the Patriots or not, you are welcome here. We have some announcements that we need to make this morning. I'm going to start with Ray and then Janet.
Real quick announcement on your World Service Committee for the food pantry. They are looking for cereal, oatmeal, and peanut butter. I'd also like to, from the World Service Committee, thank everyone that donated for the Christmas offering. We received $3,615.21. So thank you.
On Wednesday, February 18th at 7 p.m., we will begin an important 8-week book discussion group on compassion, the book Compassion and Conviction. Led by our own Jennifer Waldorf, this book is described by the authors as a guide to faithful civic engagement. If you are like me, you are not sure how or when to discuss or act on politics, the politics of this tumultuous time especially. Compassion and Conviction explores a way to have our faith shape our understanding of the politics of today. I urge you, I strongly urge you to sign up and begin reading. Free books are available in Fellowship Hall. Please join us for what promises to be a compelling discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Of course, after church today, we have our annual meeting. We have to vote on the budget and a few other things. It should be a relatively quick meeting, and it is filled with great news. So there's nothing to be afraid of at all. Are we staying here? I don't see Daniel yet. He'll be here, but he's out there. So we're going to go to the hall, I believe. All right. So the meeting will take place in Fellowship Hall. So please go there, get your refreshment, get a seat at a table, and we'll begin. It will not be long. All right. So we need as many. We need to. I think we have 40 people. I think we'll be okay. If all of our members come to the meeting, please, and thank you. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, we are showing The Chosen. We'll show the second episode, and that will be in Fellowship Hall. We will meet there to watch the second episode and have a discussion. You do not need to be at each one. We'll fill you in. The first episode was a little tricky anyway because we had to try to figure out who all the players were. But it made it easier for Southwick. And if you can't come, if you're someone who works during the day or can't come on Monday at 10 o'clock, you are welcome to come to Southwick on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And we're in the old Fellowship Hall, so you don't have to climb up the stairs for that. Please check the bulletin board on your way to Fellowship Hall today, because it is loaded with wonderful things that are happening here at First Congregational Church. So please take a look at the bulletin board. We have a lot going on. It's very exciting. So please check that out. Is there Christian fellowship on Wednesday? Did I understand that? And that's going to be at what time, Judy? Do you remember? At noontime. So noon, is there a little lunch? Having a little lunch, a couple of goodies. So that'll be Wednesday at noon. I don't have my glasses, so I'm trying to see. I'm going to go get them during the opening hymn. But, oh, help with lunches on Monday and Thursday. So we host the Westfield Food Pantry, and we feed people in here on Mondays and Thursdays. For the most part, Alice Flight and Martha Roman have Thursdays down. And we've had some great volunteers. The other day, we had too many volunteers almost, but we need help on Monday particularly. So if you're someone who can sign up to help with a Monday lunch, you don't have to come every Monday and you don't have to cook. It's greeting and or serving and or cleaning up. So if you can help with those. You're wondering why we're down here? Two things. First of all, there's a concert here this afternoon, and I said, yes, please leave the pulpit down. They're going to put it up, take it back down again. The other thing is this. I'm having back surgery on March 12th. Every time I go up the stairs, I say about four different prayers and coming down between the robes, the stole, and everything else. It is much easier for me until Easter. By Easter, I'll be back up there, I promise. But we're going to be down here for now, all right? So this is where our little pulpit thing will be, okay? We'll bring everything up, go back to the way it was. You are all creatures of habit, I know that. And you want things the way they were. But we'll go back to that in Easter, I promise. Are there any other announcements? Hearing none, let's take a deep breath in. And exhale. And let us worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship, found printed in your worship guide. We are called to bring a new understanding of God, that God so loves the world.
We are called to hear.
We are called to bring a new hope in God, that God gives us new life.
We are the light of the world.
We are called to follow the commandments and the law.
The law of God.
Let us be the salt of the earth, the light of the world.
Come, let us love one another with the love of God. Let us join together in our love of God to worship and follow Jesus.
Please join me in the opening hymn, Thanks to God, Whose Word Was Spoken, in your hymnal 536.
Thank you. be seated. At this time, I invite you to join with me in the prayer of invocation as found in your worship guide. Faithful God, you have called us to be a light shining in the world. Make us reflect the light of Christ, so that people see your love and goodness in our words and actions. We ask this through your Son, who taught us to call you our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 58. Verses 1 through 9a. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, where I shall begin at the start of the 58th chapter. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They want God on their side. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. In such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself. Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." Our God is still speaking. Join in a responsive reading of Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in his commandments. Wealth and riches are in the houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Those who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved, they will be remembered forever.
They are not afraid of evil tidings, their hearts are firm, secure in the Lord. Their hearts are steady, they will not be afraid. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes.
Righteousness endures forever. Their arm is exalted in honor.
reading from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the testimony of God to you with superior speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were made not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature do we speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are being destroyed. But we speak God's wisdom, a hidden mystery, which God decreed before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age understood, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And our God is still speaking. Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the 5th chapter of Matthew, where I shall begin with the 13th verse. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. They put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
There, now it should be on. There we go. A while ago, and I think it still may be on the market, there was something called, I can't believe it's not butter, like a margarine or a butter substitute. I have been on a low-sodium diet. So I have this whole thing about my unsalted butter. Unsalted butter, if you're not used to it, it's like spreading cardboard on your toast. I think, anyway. But it's kind of where I am, and I'm trying to get used to it. When I was in with the Marianist, by the way, when we were trying to get people off of butter there as well, and we had, I can't believe it's not butter, and one of the brothers called it, I wish it were butter. But salt comes into play. Sodium, salt. If we have too much, it's an issue. If we don't have enough, it's also an issue. And even in the times of Jesus, salt was extremely important, which is why when Jesus said to people 2,000 years ago, you are the salt of the earth, let's think about different things that could be implied 2,000 years ago when that was said. Remember, there was no such thing as refrigeration. There was no such thing as electricity. None of this stuff existed. If you wanted to preserve food, what did you use? Salt. All right? You salted fish. You salted, on the rare occasions that you had meat, you salted the meat so it would last for a day or two, so that you wouldn't have to eat everything all at once. But salt was precious too. Roman soldiers were actually paid in salt for a while. And they could trade it for other things. So you're not worth your weight in salt. Actually comes back, goes back to that times. It also provided some sort of flavor for them as well. The same way that we use salt 2,000 years later. Now, we've also found other things that various forms of salt can do. We know that salt will melt ice, but only if the temperature gets to over 22 degrees Fahrenheit. Right now, it's not helping anybody out there. So you use sand. But we know that salt can help with that. When I look at salt today, I look at the whole flavor part, but then I use salt. My interpretation of this reading for today in 2026 is that people, if we are the salt of the earth, every single one of us is different. Every single one of us brings something different to the table, brings something different to our church community, brings something different to your workplace, your schools, whatever you're doing. You bring that with you. We bring that with us. And it doesn't matter what color we are. It doesn't matter what culture we were raised in. It doesn't, those things aren't supposed to matter, but we're finding out that they do. And I think that when people are ignored or people are belittled or when people are made fun of, that's when salt loses its flavor, because the salt doesn't work anymore, because we're not bringing things together. Sure, are there other seasonings? Perhaps. Yes, there are. We know that. But I think that's when salt stops. Jesus went on to say, "You are the light of the world." Light was extremely important to them because in the darkness, they stayed home and did nothing. They couldn't really do much. They didn't have access to a lot of light. They maybe had one oil light for inside their very small house. I was laughing because we're looking at the Chosen and they went into somebody's home. I'm still thinking, it's still awfully grand compared to what I was taught in school about what people, how people lived back then. They had very little, and they had a roof and maybe four walls, and that was it. There was no such thing as rooms. They might have had a section of the house for things, but every house, if they had some money, had access to some sort of light so that they could see. Because light kept them safe. They didn't travel at night because the streets weren't lit like we have them lit today with our headlights and street lights and from the buildings and everything else. That wasn't there. And that's when people got beaten up. That's when the robbers came, etc. And so on. So people didn't travel at night. They tended to do everything by daylight. Think about us, as in the last couple of weeks. Have you noticed? It's like, ooh, it's 5 o'clock and it's still light out. Ooh, it's 5:15 and it's still light out. And we start to get a glimmer of hope again because it's not dark at 4:20. And it's not, you don't want to go home and go to bed at 6 o'clock. You're looking around at 6 o'clock, it's got to be midnight. Look at this. But it's not. Light was very important to the people around the time of Jesus. It's very important for us still today. Because you know what? We are the light of the world. Our light is only diminished through hatred, through racism. People can't let their light shine. That's the equivalent of putting a bushel over that light. It's amazing that 2,000 years later, it still works. Salt, light, still work for us today. And when they're diminished and when they're taken from us by various ways, various means, what happens to us? People become afraid. People don't want to share their salt. People don't want to shine their light. They make different choices at that. It is so very important that through our adherence to the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, that we continue to love one another as God has loved us. That we don't let horrible, horrid things like racism, hatred, division get in our way of fulfilling the gospel message right here at First Congregational Church of Westfield, right here in Westfield, Southwick, Granville, Montgomery, Russell, West Springfield, wherever we may live, Springfield. You, we, all of us are the salt of the earth. All of us are the light of the world. Let us be people who encourage others to let their salt be shown. and to not be the people who put bushels over light. Let their light shine. Let your light shine. Let our light shine. Let our light shine to the people of Westfield. Heck, we've been doing it since 1679. And we want to be able to do it for another 350 years. Because it's coming up. 3 years from now, we get to celebrate 350 years of being the salt of the earth and being the light of the world, or doing everything we possibly can to make sure that that happens. Let's continue to do it. Let's continue to do it with great spirit, with great enthusiasm. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Don't lose the saltiness. Don't put a bushel over your light or anyone else's. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. As we come to prayer this morning, we're ever mindful of those prayers that have been listed in our prayer list in our worship guide. We are ever mindful of the needs of our world, of the needs of our country. We pray for world leaders. We pray for leaders in our nation. We pray that all may act with wisdom, justice, kindness, mercy, so that all can show that they are indeed the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And may God be with you.
Also with you.
Please pray with me. God, our Father and Mother, in whose eyes all life is precious, help us to value the worth of every individual whom you have created in your image. We pray for victims of violence or hatred, especially people who have suffered innocently. May they find the healing of body, mind, or spirit which they need. We ask that the causes of division and hatred may be brought down. Where there is prejudice because of color, language, religion, or culture, help us to see things through the eyes of others and act towards them as we would like to be treated ourselves. We also pray for people who have been the cause of hurt to others. Enable them not only to admit their mistakes, but also to use their time and energy for the benefit of others and the welfare of society. We pray for family relationships in our society. Thank you for those who are our own families or who have been like family to us. Bless them with the love in return which they themselves have shown. We ask for your healing and reconciling love in family disputes or misunderstandings. We pray for children and young people caught up in problems not of their making, and for the anxiety and tensions this may cause. Give them good friends and wise counselors and support from their peer group and schools. Loving God, as we have promised you our devoted service in words and prayer, give us the strength of your Holy Spirit to enable us to keep our promises. For you are the source of our lives and our strength. Amen. My siblings in Christ, we are told that giving freely to help others glorifies God. Let us bring our gifts to God so that God's love may be shown, known, and our morning offering will now be received. abundant God, we are grateful for the ways you bless our lives and for the gifts you give us. May these gifts help heal and restore our community so that all will flourish like a well-watered garden. Amen. We are not to be frightened, for we are never alone. The God in whose image we are made will walk with us and guide us today, tomorrow, and every day. Amen.